Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also the interest of others. Let this be in you, which was also in Christ, and that is servitude. Amen. This is a servant's heart. This is what a servant's heart looks like. Amen. Don't forget this, because he gets into the humbleness and humility of Jesus Christ, right? How he became a servant by rejecting his throne to come into this world by the virgin birth in the flesh to serve and die on the cross and be the sacrificial lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world for those who believe. It says right here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind? A servant's mind. A servant's heart, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him, and giving him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those of earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is good who works in both to will and to do for his, meaning God, his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Meaning live. Watch your walk closely. Live according to the standards of God's holy word. Strive to it. Amen? Humble yourself. Be a servant. Serve others. Not just to reflect on your own interests and needs, but on the interests and needs of others. Amen? Meaning to take interest in others. And if they reject you, move on. And do things without complaining and grumbling or arguing or disputing, meaning contentions and dissensions and so forth. Why? Because it's not godly. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 19, tells us the opposite of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the flesh. Amen? And it warns us that those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions. Okay? Dissensions are, in other words, arguing, strife, bitterness. Disputing is referred to as debating one another. You know? If one's wrong and one's right, what is there to debate? Learn from the one who's right of the one who's wrong. Amen? But anyone who argues and is contentious and so forth, they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Because why? It tells us down here, verse 21, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the likes of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's ungodly. It's not of the Holy Spirit. Because the fruits of the Holy Spirit, in verse 22, says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and even self-control. And it continues to tell us, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Why? Because in verse 24 it says, "And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Therefore walk as dear children of God." In other words, instead of being part of the problem, how about being part of the solution? See? We're here to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Hallelujah. And that's what he's telling us down here. Amen? In verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Verse 15, "That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state." State of being is what he was saying here. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful." Why would he be sorrowful upon sorrow? Why? Because he's in chains. And if his fellow worker, the Lord Jesus Christ, Epaphroditus, had passed away, it would have been sorrow upon sorrow. And that's what he means. So he's thanking the Lord that the Lord spared his life, right? So he must have been deathly ill. You know, in fact, learning the waterborne pathogens for my job, I have to know all the different waterborne pathogens known anyway. And there are 5 known water pathogens, and that is, number 1, typhoid. Number 2, paratyphoid types A and B. Cholera, dysentery, and believe it or not, hepatitis. But we know in the book of Acts that dysentery was very common. Very common source of death for the Roman Empire. Why? It's because they invented aqueducts, right? But they didn't invent anything to cover the aqueducts from contamination. You have dysentery, you have cholera. You know, what is that from? Animal waste? Certainly so. But those are the 5 known waterborne pathogens for groundwater. Surface water, on the other hand, is Giardia and Cryptosporidium. So even Giardia was actually very common in the Roman Empire as well. Now, they were not only getting their water from wells, underground wells, or artesian wells, or whatever, but they were also getting it from surface water as well. So, you know, it's not uncommon that people were dying from the water alone. Maybe that's what Epaphroditus had. Dysentery. Who knows? Nonetheless, the Lord has spared his life by healing him. The Apostle Paul is very grateful here. Amen. "Therefore, I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, and the Lord, with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. Because for the work of Christ, he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me."